I'm Emily Alphen-Johnson, VPR Digital Producer. I just wanted to let you know that this episode of Vermont Edition has been edited for clarity and brevity.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. 2 years ago, Act 69 was signed into law, requiring employers to provide paid sick time to employees. The rules have been phased in, with small employers facing the requirement at the start of this year. The law is pretty simple, with just a few caveats. As long as employees are over 18 and work enough hours and enough weeks of the year, they're allowed to accrue time that they can use for acute health needs or preventative visits to the doctor or to take care of sick loved ones. Today on the show, we're checking in to see how implementation has been going. And we're joined first today by Vermont Labor Commissioner Lindsay Curley. Nice to have you with us, Commissioner Curley.
Thank you. It's nice to be with you.
So before the law went into effect, more than half of Vermont employers actually already offered paid sick leave to their employees. Now all are supposed to. As you have seen it so far, and there's been a year that most employers have supposed to be following this law, have there been any speed bumps that you've heard about from employers?
You know, I think that the reaction really has been mixed, as you mentioned, because approximately half of Vermont employers already had some sort of paid time off policy going, you know, into this. The law hasn't had that much effect on those employers. From the calls that we have received, I would say that it would appear the smaller employers are generally the ones that have more questions or concerns about coming into compliance.
What are their questions and concerns? Can you talk a little bit about, well, give me an example.
No, I think, you know, when you mentioned about, like, people knowing how do they know these laws and understand them and navigate them, you know, Vermont has so many small employers that don't have, you know, a legal team or even a human resources staff. And so they have to rely on education that they might get from, like, their local chamber or by calling us. The Vermont Department of Labor has a wage and hour division where we have staff that are on hand to answer questions like this to help explain to people how they can come into compliance with the law. So, you know, we have really not had a great deal of calls, but, you know, I would say that, you know, people's concerns is just like anything, it's change, right? You know, how will I track this? You know, what kind of lift is that going to be for my small business and whatnot? So,
if you haven't gotten many calls, though, and you're not going to be able to go out to every employer to see if they're doing this, do you have any way of knowing or making sure that companies actually are in compliance with this law?
Really, the only way we can tell is when we receive phone calls from employees who are calling that would say, for example, I don't think that my employer is complying with the earned sick time law that went into effect. You know, what can I expect? You know, how does it work and whatnot? So we're generally going to hear from somebody who is dissatisfied or feel like they're not getting what they are supposed to get. But other than that, you're right, it's really difficult for us to monitor Vermont employers to see if they're in compliance.
And are you hearing from employees who say, I don't think my company is doing this or my employer is doing this?
Again, very few. But we have had some that are just kind of calling and saying, you know, when will this go into effect? What can I expect? But not, you know, I think, you know, one call might have been somebody who was irritated that they were sick and their employer used, you know, paid them under this earned sick time and the employee didn't want them to for whatever reason. Maybe they were saving it up for some other, you know, sick day. But generally, we haven't heard of any, like, employers that are you know, purposely trying to avoid the law or violating the law.
Commissioner Curley, one of the concerns about this law before it was passed was that it would cost businesses, you know, possibly slow wage growth or have pass along costs to customers and consumers. Is there any way to quantify what the cost and also what the benefits actually are of this law?
I think it's too soon to tell. You know, when this law went into effect January 1st of 2017, there was a 1-year waiting period that employers could impose. So, you know, really, I feel like this is just getting off the ground this January. So I just think it's too soon. I'm not sure how we would quantify it. I'm sure there's a way, but we don't have that kind of information at this point.
I thought the delay was only for very small employers, that other employers had to go into effect on January 1st of 2017. Could everybody take that time?
Let me clarify. So employers that have six or more employees needed to start accruing that time on January 1st. So an employee that qualifies would earn 1 hour for every 52 hours worked. And that had to start accruing January 1st of 2017. That being said, that employer could elect to allow the use of that earned sick time for a period of up to 1 year after the January 1st deadline. So as of January 1st, 2018, you know, it's time for them to allow folks to use that time that has accrued. For a small business that employed five or fewer full-time employees, they were not subject to the act until January 1st of 2018. I do not believe they have a waiting, that they can elect a waiting period, though. They're in and they need to, you know, get started with the accrual, but I'm not positive on that one.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time to talk with us about this law, and we'll have to have you back when there's more of a chance to quantify the costs and the benefits, and I appreciate your time today.
Let me just clarify, because I do have the answer to that.
Oh, good. Excellent.
That started accruing now, so somebody who needed to start January 1st of 2018, they can impose a one-year waiting period as well. But as of January 1st, 2019, they need to provide 5 days of earned sick time.
Okay, so again, just to clarify, this law went into effect on January 1st of 2017. What you're saying is that employees with six or more employees could hold off for a year on allowing employees to take that time, that sick time.
Correct.
Very small companies. Right.
Yeah.
And very small companies didn't have to start until January 1st of 2018. And so they now have this 1 year where employees are accruing but not necessarily taking the time.
Correct. Thank you. Yes.
Great. Well, again, Commissioner Curley, thank you very much for being with us today.
You bet.
That was Lindsay Curley, Commissioner of Vermont's Department of Labor. You know, I said at the beginning of the show, it's pretty simple, but apparently not exactly totally simple, because there are these rules around how much accrual time, and that changes in, you know, within a couple of years from 24 hours to 40 hours. So we're going to get into all of this. Joining us now are two people who can help explain the economics and the legal ramifications of this law. Alexandra Kloss is an attorney with Primer Piper Eggleston and Kramer PC. She works with Vermont businesses on compliance issues. Nice to have you on the program.
Thank you, Jane.
And Patrick Walsh is an associate professor of economics at St. Michael's College in Colchester. Nice to have you back.
Thanks for having me.
All right. So, Alexander, I said it was simple, maybe not quite as simple as we thought it might be.
No, the law is very detailed and has specific requirements around how time accrues, what the permissible uses are, how employers have to track it, keep records. There's a posting notice. And so there's several different ways an employer can have a policy that's compliant with the law. So a lot of what I did was working with clients, the majority of whom already had paid time off policies, reviewing that and talking to them about what changes were necessary, because I think virtually all policies I reviewed needed some at least minor change to be compliant with the law. Just so talking through those options on what changes could be made, and even deciding whether a company wanted to keep a bucket that they already had under those rules and create a new bucket just for sick time that was compliant with the law.
Really, because it sounded like part of the reason why people were saying this isn't going to be too difficult is because that over half of employers already provide paid sick time and they wouldn't need to do anything to change. And from the organizations that you work with, they have had to do some work to just make sure that they're in compliance, even if they offer more than 24 hours of paid sick time?
Yes. For example, the law eligibility for employees, unless there's an exception, is triggered at working 18 hours a week. And most existing policies, I think, had a higher threshold for coverage for an employee. Also, Commissioner Curley talked about the waiting period. And under the Vermont law, sick time has to accrue during the waiting period, where a lot of existing policies I reviewed time was not accruing until someone's waiting, or sometimes it's called probationary period, was over.
Yeah, and that was one of the, when this law was passed, that employers wanted to make sure that there was some sort of probationary period so people couldn't sort of take advantage of the law very easily. Listeners, again, you can share your thoughts with us, 800-639-2211. That's 1-800-639-2211. You can also post notes on the Vermont Edition page at vpr.net. Patrick Walsh, I asked Lindsay Curley, you know, can we quantify the costs? Can we quantify the benefits? That's sort of your bailiwick. What do you think? Can we? I mean, maybe we can't yet, but is it possible to do so?
Well, economists can quantify anything.
So. Good to know.
But I do agree with the commissioner that since this has really been in effect for effectively a year, we don't have any hard numbers specifically from Vermont on either the response of employers or employees. The good news, I think, is it's not too hard to compare the Vermont policies to some other locations that have tried out this kind of policy. So a number of years ago, Connecticut passed a very similar law. And then also San Francisco, the city of San Francisco, has paid sick leave. So it's, you know, when thinking about how is this affecting Vermont employers and workers, you can kind of look at those experiences and kind of try to put Vermont in context.
So what do we know based on what's been happening in places like San Francisco and Connecticut that might apply here?
So there's a couple different ways to sort of compare these policies in terms of what size of firm is affected. You know, different places will have, you know, so for Vermont's case, it's five and fewer, I think, are exempt from this, whereas in Connecticut, it's actually 50 and fewer. And in San Francisco, they kind of do this combination where, you know, different amounts of time apply to different size. Anyway, so for Vermont, in terms of the number of days that can be accrued, it's somewhat less than these other two examples. So the current law, I know it's going to change a little bit in a few years, but the current law in Vermont is allows employees to build up 24 hours, or essentially, you know, three work days,
or two if you're a shift worker that does 12-hour shifts.
That's right. So whereas in Connecticut, it's 5 days. In San Francisco, I think it's also 5 or 6 days.
And it will be 5 days in Vermont eventually, right?
Up to
5 days.
Where it can be capped, either use or accrual in an annual period can be capped at 40 hours.
Okay.
Right. So the comparisons that I've seen, there have been some studies that have actually not used sort of real world data, but have done simulations, you know, kind of using kind of big averages as kind of their input. And what it looks like is that Vermont's law, in particular, at least as it currently stands, is on the smaller side in terms of costs and impacts. So one of these studies, one of these simulations predicted that average Vermonter would take about 1.2, maybe 1.5 days off per year. And, of course, that's lumping together a fair number of people who take 0 days, with others who might take 2, 3, 4 days. In terms of sort of dollar costs, again, this is kind of more based on models, but the kind of range for Vermont would be, they think, in the neighborhood of about a tenth of 1% of the entire payroll bill. And that kind of varies. It's somewhat higher for smaller firms, and somewhat, you know, lower for larger firms. And that compares to, closer to, 0.3%, maybe even 0.4% for, San Francisco. So we're in terms of the, you know, both the scale and also the dollar cost, it seems Vermont's, kind of a more modest program.
Let's go to Chuck, who's calling in from St. Johnsbury. Hi, Chuck. Go right ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. I have a situation, and I'm trying to get an answer to it, because I work for a major company in St. Jay, and when I asked them about the sick days, the three sick days, they said that if I wanted to take any sick days, it would come out of my vacation days. And right now I have 2 weeks vacation, and I didn't think that was how the law was supposed to operate. Can you have some answers for me on that?
Yeah, Chuck, thanks for calling in with your question. It's a perfect example of how does implementation of this law actually work, what's legal, what's not. Alexander Kloss, what about Chuck's situation?
Hi, Chuck. That's a great question. It is one that's come up frequently. So Vermont law requires that employers provide at least, you know, up to 24 hours a year right now through December 31st, 2018. And then that goes up. But it doesn't it didn't require that employers give employees any new or additional bucket of time. So if there was an existing vacation policy where they said, OK, you can now use vacation for all of these permissible reasons under the sick time law, your company wouldn't be required by the law to give you a new separate bucket of time. The idea is that employees will get at least this much paid time off during a year that they can use for sick types of reasons, but not require that employers go above and beyond that.
And there's no requirement that employers give you vacation time in a certain amount?
Correct, Jane. They're right. Currently, Vermont law does not require that employers provide vacation time. Vermont law does say that if an employer has an employment agreement to provide certain benefits, that they'll be obligated to provide those benefits. But it doesn't require vacation time at this time.
So it's legal for Chuck's employer to do what that employer is doing.
Based on what Chuck told us, it sounds like it is. Yes.
A similar question we got from another listener who says certain employers have policies in which all leave time is lumped together. There's no separate sick leave, vacation, personal, etc. The practical impact is that employees are reticent to take any sick leave unless absolutely necessary. This means employees taking less time for preventative care appointments, a premier goal of healthcare policy, since it comes from the same pot as vacation time, which drives higher costs and less positive health outcomes. It also means people are more likely to come to work when they feel only a little bit sick. For employees who do not have many hours accumulated, sick leave may not be a practical option. From their personal health to general health policy, this is, in my opinion, a terrible leave policy. Ironically, the company I'm thinking of holds itself out as a progressive-minded employer. So again, you know, maybe an unintended consequence of the law here, if employers are making paid time off that incorporates vacation time or sick time or personal time or anything else that you want to use it for, but it's all lumped into one bucket now. Maybe people are less likely to take that sick time because it's actually taking away from their vacation time, similarly perhaps to what Chuck said. So, Patrick Walsh, is that a potential downside or maybe just a hidden consequence of this law?
Yeah. I mean, anytime you make a change like this or a requirement like this, I mean, people are going to respond to it. That's not a reason to say, oh, we can't do this. I mean, it's not a deal breaker. But at the same time, we can't kind of be blind to some of the, as you said, some of the unintended consequences or the hidden consequences. And I think for better or for worse, the kind of change that Alexandra and your caller were talking about is that's a great example of how the employer says, look, we can't really give away any more kind of free time, but we'll enlarge the sick time, maybe at the expense of vacation time. You know, more generally, when economists have looked at these sort of kind of mandated benefits, as what they call them, you know, some of the concerns are that wages would not grow as fast. I mean, it's for a program of this scale, it's pretty unusual to expect that wages would literally fall. But, you know, over time, it might be that the wages would not rise as quickly as they might have. And then also, especially again for the smaller firms, are they going to be hiring as frequently or as much as they would? Are they going to make other demands of their workers in terms of, you know, stepping up when somebody is out? And there's a little bit of evidence from sort of these other states and these other places that have done this. Again, the effects are not large by any means, but you know, some of these other places. So in San Francisco, 14% of firms reported that they were scaling back on their raises. In Connecticut, 15% of employers, said that they were raising prices on the customers. And again, those are not huge effects, but it's something we need to be aware of.
Although perhaps, well, completely unintended, at least by Vermont lawmakers, that the implementation of this law comes at the same time as the tax cuts that have gone into effect through the Trump administration. So maybe the actual effect on employers will not be as big as it might otherwise have been.
Yeah, and I think when we get to these kind of debates, it's important to distinguish between the direction of an effect and the size of an effect. And I mean, truthfully, if I was was on the air in San Francisco, I might be like, well, you know, this is kind of a very costly regulation. But, you know, for here in Vermont, it is smaller scale, and I would be surprised to see dramatic consequences either for employment or wages.
Matt Byrong with Three Squares Cafe says, I'm a business owner in Addison County. The amount of input from the small business community really helped make this law something that not only works for workers, but for the small business community as well. It's important for us as a state to create certain minimum standards in the workplace, and I'm happy that a modest amount of paid sick days is one of those standards. We got a note from Nikita who says, my husband has worked as a tattoo artist at a local shop for 20 plus years. He's not an independent contractor like a hairstylist that would pay rent for their workstation. Instead, he's paid commission for the tattoos he performs and receives a W-2 issued by the shop each year. Luckily, he's not sick very often, but when he is, it's a hardship on our family of five, as there's no income if he's not working. How would this law apply to small businesses that employ workers who do not make an hourly rate? Are they still responsible for providing some sort of sick pay? Alexandra?
That's a great question. It comes up also in the context of tipped workers, maybe in hospitality. And so there is a comprehensive sick time rule that has been issued by the Vermont Department of Labor, and commissions do not have to be factored in to pay out for earned sick time. It's either the regular rate, which is the rate the employee would have received, the hourly rate when they were working, or a blended rate if someone is getting different rates of pay, like differential rates for different kinds of shifts, and or the minimum wage. So it sounds like commissions would not have to be factored into payment if someone was absent for sick leave. They would just have to be paid at least the applicable Vermont minimum wage.
And in a situation like that where somebody is earning a commission, are they also supposed to be earning some sort of – I know that the minimum wage for people who work off tips is a different minimum wage than if you're not also getting tips. But would somebody in this position likely be making – I mean, she said he's not an hourly wage earner.
I'd probably need to know a little bit more from Nikita about the details of the situation, but generally, someone should either, if someone's an employee, there should either be a set salary if they qualify to be salaried, or they should be making at least the minimum wage per hour, unless there's an exception.
But basically, you're not going to be earning money that you would on the commissions or on those tips. The employer is not required to pay you what you would have earned on that commission or tips, basically.
My understanding is an employer would not be required to pay out what someone would have earned in commissions if someone's absent for a sick leave purpose.
Janice is calling in from Springfield. Hi, Janice. You're on the air.
Good afternoon. My question has to do with the non-contracted seasonal employees. And how is there any commitment by employers to pay a seasonal employee any kind of sick time?
Hi, Janice. That's a great question. So the law does have an exception for seasonal workers. And so if someone is hired to work less than 20 weeks in a 12-month period, and that job actually lasts 20 weeks or fewer, then an employer would not be obligated to provide sick leave to that worker. If the worker did stay on beyond that 20-week period, then the employer would have to go back and give the person accrual from their start date of employment.
But if somebody doesn't take their sick time, an employer is not required to pay out sick time usually, right?
Yes, that question comes up a lot. The law does not require employers to pay out sick time if it's not used. Either it doesn't require a payout of sick time at termination of employment. The law says an employer can pay it out at the end of a 12-month period if they don't want it to carry over into the next year.
Let's go here to this note we have. Does this affect only full-time employees? The company for which I work part-time gives benefits only to those who work 30 hours or more per week.
So the law is triggered for most workers who are working 18 hours or more. It would depend on the size of the employer as to whether the company was subject to the law as of December 1st, 2017 or 2018.
So in other words, for this person who's writing, the company for which I work part-time gives benefits only to those who work 30 or more per week. Some benefits may still be able to only be given to people who work 30 hours per week, but people who work 20 hours per week should be accruing sick time.
Correct.
You know, when we talk about these laws, and again, you know, it's still pretty early, even a year into the implementation, to try to figure out the knock-on effects and the knock-on consequences. But Patrick Walsh, you were talking a little bit about how it's worked in other places. And we've talked a little bit about the costs. What about the benefit side? I mean, this was done partly to ensure that people wouldn't have to choose between, for example, taking care of a sick kid or taking somebody to a doctor's appointment or going to one on their own or making their wage. So do you see in the places that have implemented this beneficial return, either in healthcare policy or retained jobs or families being able to make it better?
So, well, certainly when you're looking at, you know, lost productivity from people being sick, you know, giving people that chance to you know, stay home and get better and get back in. I mean, that's a clear benefit and also a clear benefit for people taking care of sick kids.
You know, and presumably for all of the colleagues of the person who otherwise might be working while sick and then be getting sick themselves.
Exactly. And that was, and I was going to mention, I mean, there's a very kind of visible benefits of, you know, there's a given person who's sick or their family's sick. And so, you know, they don't have to worry, gee, do I make rent or do I take care of this person? So that's obviously this very visible benefit. But also, you've got I think a lot, not all these situations, but a lot of these situations, we're talking about, you know, the typical cold and flu that you kind of don't want those people coming into your place of work, you know, either whether it's for the their fellow coworkers or, you know, if it's a, you know, customer facing kind of business, a restaurant or something like that. You really want those people to have an incentive to stay home, get well. You know, in terms of quantifying that benefit, you know, I've not seen, you know, many detailed studies. I mean, you'd almost have to talk to an epidemiologist about, you know.
Modeling. Are you modeling?
Oh, sure.
Things?
Yeah. I mean,
you can tell us sick days versus healthy populations.
Yeah. Economists are happy to make something up. But so I think, you know, both with the costs and the benefits, there's sort of this very visible cost and very visible benefit, but also there's not only the hidden costs we talked about earlier, but the less obvious benefits of you know, that these infectious diseases don't spread as quickly through the population, and we're just coming off of a pretty awful flu season. So if these kind of laws can you know, make some progress towards limiting those disease connections, then that's a big benefit.
Alexander, you wanted to jump in.
Oh, I wanted to mention one permissible use we haven't talked about yet is that under the sick leave law, an employee can use sick time if the school or facility where their child or family member is located during the day is closed for health or safety reasons. And so that would include a snow day. And historically, I don't think I had seen a lot of policies that allowed the use of paid time off to cover a sick day when a child's school or daycare is closed.
But that is a permissible use of sick days under this Vermont
policy.
It
is, yes.
Why didn't we know this yesterday? All the schools
Hopefully
were closed
you did.
Yesterday. So do you have a sense, Alexandra, if companies actually now are aware of this policy, are implementing the policy? I mean, we knew from the survey that came out after the law was passed but not yet implemented that maybe half of all employers didn't know about it. Do they know now?
I hope all the ones that I work with do. I think they do, yes.
But do you have a sense of whether that's – I mean, you work with companies, but there are plenty that – I mean, maybe they don't even know.
They might not, yeah. And what I would tell them is if you're listening and you don't have a policy or you have a policy and you haven't looked at it for compliance, you should go to the Department of Labor's website. They have a comprehensive rule. There's frequently asked questions. Start there. You could call the Wage and Hour Division staff, as Commissioner Curley mentioned. And then if you really wanted a legal review or you wanted to talk with an employment specialist, you could call a lawyer that specializes in employment law.
Hmm. That's Alexandra Kloss, an attorney and shareholder at Primer, Piper, Eggleston & Kramer. She works with Vermont businesses on compliance issues, and her firm is a VPR underwriter. Thank you very much for talking with us today.
Thank you so much.
Patrick Walsh is an associate professor of economics at St. Michael's College in Colchester. Professor Walsh, thank you very much for talking with us.
Glad to be here.